This case from October 4th, 2012 began as a case and was supposed to be a case about helping Mr. Cunningham.
In his opening statement to the jury, Assistant District Attorney Nick Pulaski pointed out that on the night in question, police were responding to a report that Cunningham was allegedly intoxicated, suicidal, armed with a gun, and parked in a vehicle several miles out Frederick Point Road.
The police responded, as the police respond in many of these types of situations, where a person is threatening to harm themselves and present some type of danger to themselves and not necessarily to other people, but a danger to themselves. They began by talking to him over the phone, multiple telephone conversations. They summoned mental health professionals, Chad Wright and Kim Kelkeny, who talked to him over the phone as well, and were just not getting very much traction with talking to Mr. Cunningham about how he needed to back off. This was not a situation that needed to escalate. Nothing needed to happen.
Without success over the phone, the police chief, four officers, and the two mental health counselors positioned themselves at a roadblock between Cunningham's location and town. When he eventually came down the road in his Ford Explorer, police say that he stopped within feet of the roadblock, tried to turn around, and ultimately got stuck in a ditch. They claim that he fired two rounds from his AR-15 assault rifle while trying to drive away. According to Pulaski, that's one of the reasons the defendant is facing seven counts of felony assault in the third degree, a charge that includes causing fear of injury with a weapon.
We don't know exactly where the shots ended up going, but for the charges Mr. Cunningham is facing, that's not necessarily something that is applicable, because when Mr. Cunningham, by approaching his vehicle at the vehicle parked in the road, when he fired off a few shots, the officers that were in the field off to the side ducked to cover. Some of them were afraid that they were being shot at. Some of them were afraid that some of the other officers were being shot at. And that conduct fits the elements of assault in the third degree.
The state's case is also based on allegations that Cunningham aimed his rifle at an officer while she was trying to convince him to surrender. In his opening statement, defense attorney Michael Heiser said all five officers who responded to the scene also had AR-15 rifles. Despite their phone conversations, Heiser claimed police had not warned his client that they were going to set up a roadblock. He raised questions of visibility, stressing, among other things, that a gray city pickup truck was at the front of the blockade rather than a marked police car.
Now, it turned out that this was a pitch black dark night, and it was so dark that you could barely see in front of you. You had to have a flashlight or a headlight to see in front of you. It was that dark out. And the police were going to use, again, this dark gray, unmarked utility vehicle in front of the roadblock. They're going to have, I guess, the police vehicles in the back. And they're going to have this unmarked vehicle in front. And they decided not to use any lights either for that vehicle or for the police vehicles in back.
So Heiser said Cunningham didn't realize there was a roadblock there until the very last minute.
So, Mr. Cunningham, you hear that when he approached this vehicle in front, that he did not hit it. And you will hear from the officers that when he got to the roadblock, that he locked his brakes up, that he suddenly stopped, and that he threw his car in reverse. And the officers were expected to testify that when all this was going on, at the exact same time, they claimed they heard gunshots.
Heiser pointed out that his client didn't fire a shot when he later got out of his car and spoke with Sergeant Heidi Agner.
And in fact, his gun was unloaded. It didn't have any bullets in it, and it didn't have the magazine attached to it. You also see that the police officers did not fire a single shot at Mr. Cunningham.
During testimony from Sergeant Agner on Wednesday, the prosecution played excerpts from a police recording of the confrontation and various clips. Cunningham can be heard threatening to shoot and demanding to know who else is at the scene besides Agner, saying he doesn't want to talk to her. Here's one of their exchanges with an expletive deleted for broadcast.
What do you want, Jay?
Who is behind me?
Nobody's behind you.
Don't you want me or I'll fire on you.
All right. There's nobody even close to you behind you.
In another excerpt, Cunningham is heard threatening to light everyone up. Agner tells him she doesn't want that, and he responds that he doesn't want it either. On Wednesday, Agner testified that when she turned on her rifle-mounted flashlight, she saw Cunningham pointing his rifle at her.
And I thought through, I said, you know, if he shoots me in the head, I'm just dead. That's done. If he shoots me in the chest, I have a ballistic vest on, but it doesn't stop rifle rounds. I know that. It's not rated for that. And I knew if he shot me in the chest, he would either kill me or it would hurt, and hurt really bad.
According to Agner, the incident lasted nearly an hour before Cunningham placed his rifle on the ground and gave up. Along with the felony counts, Cunningham is also charged with several misdemeanors, including driving under the influence, driving with a canceled, suspended, or revoked license, and refusal to submit to a chemical test. His trial continues today. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.